to be young and inexperienced again. Go ghost hunting with your friends, don't really know what to expect, what to do, or how to handle something if it happens. Well, something does happen to a group of teenagers who decide to embark on a ghost hunt. What happens after that? Well, it's kind of craziness. If you want to hear that story, it's on APP Bonus Episode 59 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com, click Become an EPP, sign up, and you'll get access to that episode and all 60 some of our bonus episodes and exclusive video content as well. Your support helps keep our show on the air, and we greatly appreciate that. Sign up on the web, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, could the actions of their ancestors be the reason a family of listeners cannot rid their homes of spirits? A beautiful old plantation home is the perfect backdrop for a wedding, except for the entities within. A deceased brother wakes his brother in time to save his newborn daughter's life, and could it really be a deceased grandma that helps to locate missing items, or is it a trickster entity? Tricksters.
Trickster.
Don't like those trickster entities. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again. Hello.
Hi.
I thought this was kind of funny. It's something that a listener shared with us. And I want to, before I go into this and preface this, I must say I do like cats.
Okay.
I love cats. Had cats my whole life. Big fan of cats. But this is, if you're a cat owner or cat lover, you have to find some humor in this. Cat or ghost is what it's called. And here you go. There's a malicious presence in the house which keeps knocking things over for no reason. Cat or ghost?
Oh, probably. Well, do they have a cat? Like a living cat?
It's just a trivia question. It's not like what this person's thing is.
Cat.
Cat is correct. Woke up with unexplained scratches all over your body. Cat or ghost?
Ghost.
Cat.
Really?
Cat. You've long suspected that something in your house wants to kill you. Cat or ghost?
Probably cat.
Cat. And a gentle soul who follows you around and just wants affection. Cat or ghost?
Cat.
Ghost.
Okay.
There you go. Cat or ghost. There's plenty of nice cats. I had a cat that was very much fitting the T of this one.
Mm-hmm.
Our current cat, not so much. The current cat's really nice, but I had a cat growing up that was more so wanted me dead.
Yeah.
I think probably, you know when you watch an animal sometimes when they're sleeping, they, you know, they're pawing around and they're doing different things in their dreams,
mm-hmm.
and then their extremities are moving around. Well, I very much thought that many a times when my cat was doing that, it was probably fantasizing about killing me.
Oh, really?
I'm thinking that's what it was. I mean, sometimes in its claw, it would write into the linoleum on the floor. It would scratch my name into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the word die.
Yeah.
Right beneath it. That was Murphy.
Yeah, Murphy.
Murphy the cat. quite the multi-dexterous cat. Grabbing no thumbs, she got a lot done.
Mm-hmm.
She really did. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Our first story tonight comes in from Sissy. And Sissy writes in, I am scared to disclose the history of my family and what has been happening in my grandmother's house for many years. A brief history of my grandmother's house is that it was built in the early 1900s of mortar stone on many acres of land. The house was 5 bedrooms, a basement, attic, the original wood floors. In 1967, my grandparents came to Ohio from Kentucky and first settled in a small house down the street from the big house they later bought. This first house was run down a bit, so they moved their big family of 14 up the road. After they moved, the old house was torn down, and while excavating, they found the house was built on glacial came, Mound Builder Indian burial ground. It was later revealed that my uncle as kids, all found bones, artifacts, and other things they dug up while they lived in that first house. The Historical Society has all the newspaper articles about the discovery, and I recently had the chance to research it. So my family moved up the road to the big farmhouse that was rumored at one time to be a bed and breakfast. That may also be connections to the Underground Railroad. My grandparents raised all their kids here, and throughout the years, family would whisper about hearing footsteps walking up the stairs late at night or down the hallway. The room that had the most activity has always been the attached bedroom that leads into the attic. As kids, we moved into the house when I was 13, my younger brother was 9, and we were in the attic room, and we heard slow footsteps, someone wearing boots coming down the steps. We heard something throw itself against the door. We both fumbled around and ran out of that room. I even tried to sleep in there when we first moved in and heard the footsteps. Nobody believed us and claimed it was just pigeons. We also have had something hold us down while we slept. I also dreamt of a spinning vortex in the closet door with a red eye in it. Recently, my brother has visited my uncle, who still resides at my grandmother's old house, and they claim that there's still a lot of activity and noises coming from the attached room that leads up to the attic. I also found that the second time my grandmother broke her hip, she heard the thing that walked up the stairs and down the hall late at night, but this time it spoke to her. I told her to go down the back staircase, also known as the servant stairs. She did, and fell, breaking her hip that eventually led to her death. They said my grandmother was delusional, but this scares me so much now that I'm older and I understand this more. My uncles are now older and have been telling my brother about things that have happened, and back then they didn't speak about things they couldn't see in fear of being judged or ridiculed. I don't know if over the years someone died in the house or if the spirit energy from the Indian mounds that was disturbed. After the mound was discovered, my Uncle Jeff was killed on his bike when he was 16 by a drunk driver. The archaeologists did discover an infant skull and adult skeletons during the dig. How can we appease these spirits or protect ourselves? After what I was told about my grandma, I am very scared and want to protect myself. People that don't believe have obviously not had any unexplainable experiences, but I have had them all my life since I was a child with chronic pneumonia and was hospitalized most of my early childhood years. I used to see things and have premonitions, but I'm too scared now to use my sensitivity in fear of attracting negative energies. I have photos of the house and newspaper articles pertaining to the find of the Indian burial mound. I'd appreciate any input or advice. I'll never step foot into that house again because my brothers and I still dream about it and the red orbs. The paranormal interests me, but it's a fine line that I don't cross because it's too real for me and my family.
This is such a hard one to kind of decipher because could it be something following them from when the kids were digging up the bones at the Indian burial sites?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But they didn't move into a home that wasn't a good candidate for a haunting on its own anyway.
Sure. Well, and also if they're not moving all that far away from the other one, because they said it was just kind of up the road a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what that means, if it literally means right up the road. You could still very well be on those grounds.
Sure.
It may not be all that. I mean, some of those grounds are pretty well spread out.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not have gone all that far. You may be in another property that is still on the same sort of material.
But I would go with the don't go to that house again if you don't have to, if that's what your gut tells you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably a good choice to make, just because you don't want to make yourself a target of anything latching on.
I would say you're one of your best bets to this situation. I mean, the thing is, they're not in that home anymore, but you may want to try and get in contact with whatever group it is. If that group is still around, if that Native American group is still around, if they have a reservation or an office or something in the area, contact them. I mean, obviously, this is a documented case of mm-hmm. this ground was dug up and these people lived there. You may, if you can, if it was able to be attributed to a specific group, because sometimes you know, tribes had moved around and stuff, and it's hard to essentially how far back those bones were. If they did officially say, okay, this was from this group here, may want to get in contact, explain where you lived, explain what was found out later, and tell your story and say, this weird things have been happening to me throughout my entire life since this was discovered, since we were in this house. What do you think? Sometimes maybe there's a ceremony, maybe there's some sort of blessing, maybe there's something that can be given to help rid this, if this is indeed from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult to say if it is for sure, but if you were to look at the evidence, it kind of points very possibly in that direction.
It's worth a try.
It's worth a try. Mm-hmm. And I can't guarantee that anything's going to come of it, but I have heard of such things being done in the past.
Okay.
I mean, essentially, this is an innocent bystander who didn't build a house purposely on an Indian burial ground.
Mm-mm.
It's a kid who was brought into the world and is living a life and has been tormented by things. But there may be something that can be done.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my suggestion. Let us know how that works. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Jason writes in, my family's always been around the paranormal. Here's a story that personally happened to me. Back when I was around 11, my mother, stepfather, sister, and I had lived in a small, old rental house in Southern Virginia. In the house, there were two smaller rooms inside, the two kids' rooms. One of them was mine. One night, around 9 or 11 p.m., I was lying in my bed. I had my TV on in the background for noise while I was trying to sleep. I heard the sound of a cat meowing, which was off-putting due to the fact that we hadn't owned a cat at the time. I was scared, not about to get out of bed, when all of a sudden a white light had appeared that I could see from under the crack of the door in one of the smaller rooms in the bedroom. I then saw the shadow of four small legs under the door as well. I was completely frozen in fear. The next night I was in my room, lying down with the TV on, same as before, when I heard the meowing again. I stayed in bed, not wanting to get up out of fear. When I felt a cat jump up on the bed onto my legs, I jumped up and ran to my mother. My mom came up to tuck me back in. There was an indentation in the covers where four little paws had been. A few months had passed where we didn't see the cat, but the house was not free of the paranormal. My mom had kept a secret, trying not to scare us, but I heard her talking about seeing an old lady in the basement. My sister had some incidents where her basketball would bounce by itself. One day my stepfather was watching TV when he heard the parakeets going crazy in their cage. He went over to look out when, out of nowhere, he'd seen a cat jump up, attack the cage, and vanish. That was the last time we saw the cat.
Cat or ghost?
Wee-hoo! Ghost cat.
Ghost cat.
In this specific case.
That's really fun.
Wow. You know, so many cats that I've had just don't really, you know, give a shit in life about their owners or rules or anything like that. Can you imagine how they are if they're a ghost? They
yeah.
really don't care. It's like, I'm just going to climb the cage, attack you in full daylight. I don't care. Luckily, I probably can't eat the parakeet, but... it can certainly scare them quite a bit. Thank you for that story. Lindsay writes in, my husband and I drove from Albuquerque to Atlanta for a wedding 2 years ago. I was in the wedding as a bridesmaid, and it was a small town in Georgia just outside of Atlanta. The venue for the wedding was a big plantation house called McGarrity House, and it was a beautiful old house. The feeling of history still hung in the air inside the halls, and you could almost picture what it must have been like over 100 years ago. All the bridesmaids got their hair done in vintage styles, and I chose a 1920s pin curl style. We were all upstairs getting ready, and the photographer called us down for pictures. Everyone shuffled downstairs, and I lingered behind to fix a few loose curls and put on my lipstick. I used the restroom and came back into the main room to use the mirror. I started arranging my hair and applying my makeup, and I felt a sharp tap, tap, tap on my shoulder. Assuming it was somebody from the wedding party, I turned around saying, I'm sorry, I'm coming, right? To my surprise, there was nobody there. I looked in the restroom down the hall, opened the rest of the rooms. Nobody. I went down the stairs, thoroughly creeped out, and took pictures with the group. We're all there, by the way. Later, I told my friend, the bride, about what had actually happened. She mentioned it to the wedding planner, who frequently books the McGarrity House for events, and the planner told her that from time to time, people get tapped or they hear footsteps in the house when they're alone. I'm a believer in the paranormal, but that was my first experience actually having something physically touch me. To this day, I can't fathom how the tap, tap, tap feeling was not a human being. I'm sure that old house has lots of stories, and I'd be curious to hear more.
I'm sure somebody else out there has had an experience at that same place. It sounds like it's a pretty well-known place.
Venue?
Yeah. Yes. Outside of Atlanta.
Good place to go have a haunting and get hitched. I would imagine. Do you think that is a selling point? Do you think it's on the brochures ever? Like, and by the way, we're haunted. Bonus wedding guests.
I don't think so.
Bonus wedding gifts, too.
I would think not, just because a lot of people don't want to deal with something like that. A lot of people do, but a lot of people don't when it's their wedding.
It's not exactly like, oh, here, that's a neat little perk.
Yeah.
It's not like a chocolate fountain, so to speak.
No.
It's a chocolate fountain of the dead. That's exactly what it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. They could advertise it like, and if you want, we'll do a seance the night before your wedding and really stir them up.
Oh, there you go.
You can request the ghosts. Mm-hmm. That would be a little added thing there. Dave writes in, hey guys, love the show. You recently shared a story I sent in about my car trip from Vegas. Been waiting to share that for years. I'm glad you felt that it was worth reading on your show. This story happened in the hospital 3 days after my youngest daughter was born in October of 2009. On that night, I went to bed and actually fell right to sleep on the hospital pullout bed, if you can call it that. I dreamt that I was talking to my older brother, who died in 2002. It felt very natural, just like old times. I don't remember what we spoke about or how long, but I do remember a sudden change in the atmosphere of the dream, and that as I was staring at his face, his skin just disappeared and all that was left was his white skull. I woke with a start. I looked over towards my wife's bed and she wasn't there. I looked over to the bassinet. My daughter was flailing around silently. Got up, walked over, and she was awake, but she was clearly not breathing. My wife and I had taken the infant CPR class, and I began to do the steps as taught. I knew it wasn't enough. I needed to hit the panic button on the bed. I was torn, but in the end, I couldn't leave her. It doesn't make sense now, but the button was so close, but at that moment, I was totally consumed trying to save her. I managed to get her back for one long, drawn-out breath, but just the one before she stopped breathing again. I don't remember calling for her, but my wife came flying out of the bathroom and out of the door. A few seconds later, a group of nurses came running in. The one in front shoulder-checked me out of the way to get to the baby. They grabbed my daughter and ran out of the room. They saved her. We left the hospital with a healthy little girl. Now she's a healthy, energetic 6-year-old who never stops talking. If my brother hadn't woke me up that night, I don't know what would have happened. It's nice to know that he still got my back and that he was there for his niece when she needed him.
That is a good story. I mean, I like that he's still looking out for his family, even though he's not really around anymore.
And the way he had to do it, he had to suddenly turn into a skeleton.
Yeah, he had to scare his brother away.
Exactly.
It worked.
That works.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting that you can have that sort of control in death. As a ghost, when you come back, it's like, oh, shit, this guy's going to wake up right now. Skeleton! And then you're awake. But, hey, you got to do what you got to do. I suppose it probably wouldn't just be like, hey, you should probably wake up. Your daughter's not breathing. In a dream that may be difficult to get out of. I mean, although it's a very important, urgent thought, it may not just have that bam, quick scare effect that, oh, my God, my brother's a skeleton. What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Would have to wake up. So, yeah, I agree. I think that that was certainly meant to happen there. Our phone number is 855-853-4802. If you have a real ghost story that you would like to share with us, we would love to hear it. Of course, if you like the show, please consider supporting it. You guys are what keeps this thing on the air with our EPP programs. We give you a bonus episode every single week. More than 60 some of them available to you right now when you sign up, and exclusive bonus video content for you as well. So lots of really cool extras, excellent shows, some of our best stories ever. If you like these episodes, you're going to love the EPP episodes. And it's only $5 a month, and that's what keeps this thing on the air. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Josh writes in, "This is a story that my uncle experienced, and not my personal story, but worth sharing. When my cousin was one, they were sitting in the living room with my cousin, and they had a 10-pound container of formula on the coffee table. All of a sudden, the container went flying across the room and broke open. There was no one there, and the doors and windows were all closed. 3 years later, they had just finished their basement and had scones. They put scones on the wall. Who doesn't like a good scone? You just walk up and, that's a great scone. What flavor is on this wall? Blueberry? Sconces on the wall. They woke up one morning, there was a stack of 5 pennies each, perfectly aligned on top of each scone." Okay, now it says scone here.
Okay, it's supposed to be sconce.
Sconce, okay. Maybe like I my eye saw scone below, and it was just because I'm always scanning forward, and that's why I said it, but okay, sconce, okay. "My uncle and aunt both were sleeping, and my cousin was far too young and short to have done this. About 3 years later now, my two cousins were sitting in the living room watching The Little Mermaid, and my uncle and aunt were arguing in the kitchen. My cousin called my uncle over from the kitchen and said there was something wrong with the movie. When my uncle got out, the screen was black with white text on it saying, 'Why do you always have to make things worse?' He called my aunt and it disappeared. They rewound the movie several times and they never saw this again. It's been 5 years now, and there's not been any action since then. Thank you for taking the time to read this and look forward to your input."
What an aggressive little ghost.
Yeah, it's messing with the Little Mermaid.
Making messages appear on the TV, and formula's expensive, so knocking the formula over would really make me mad.
Yeah, that's a 10-pound thing of it.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot of formula.
It is.
It's probably like a 100-pound or $100 thing of formula right there.
At least it is now, yeah.
Would you scoop it up and reuse it?
I would save as much of it as I could.
Just make sure there's no carpet fibers in
there.
Yeah,
yeah. If it got on the floor, then no, but...
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's really interesting, especially with the message on the TV. And I'm wondering if it was a VHS or if it was a DVD.
Well, he said they rewound it, so I'm guessing VHS.
Yeah. And that's even creepier, because you can get weird things to happen on DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a message that, I don't know. I mean, I suppose if your DVD player was really glitching up, theoretically, you know, anything's possible. It could grab some of the closed captioning and, you know, put it up on the screen and it's glitched out.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that being a possibility. What I'd do, I would take a look and see if that's ever a line in the movie.
Yeah.
And see if anything had glitched to that point, if in fact it was a DVD. If it was a VHS, that's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
So, creepy nonetheless. Amanda writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm a fairly new listener, but I've been binge listening to the episodes and have completed many over the past month, so while I'm at work, I'm thoroughly enjoying it. But friends have said I'm a lot jumpier lately. I wanted to share my story. In December of 2010, my family moved into a small cottage in a tiny village called Down Thomas, just outside of the city of Plymouth, England. The cottage itself dated back to the mid-1800s. We moved to be near my sister and her family, who had a modern house located directly behind our cottage. This meant the children could come and go as they pleased, which they did a lot. My youngest nephew was one at the time and a shy but funny little kid. He'd constantly asked to go to Nanny's house, as he knew he'd be given sweets and treats in our house. The cottage was your typical rundown but livable one-living-room, two-bedroom property. It had been vacant for a fair while, as the landlord had difficulty keeping tenants in both our cottage and the one adjacent to ours. Not because of things that went bump in the night, but because they weren't in the best of condition. Damp, mold, holes in the floors, ceilings, etc., but we had deep cleaned and tidied and made it livable. Anyway, I digress. The day we moved in, I had an uneasy feeling about the place. Lots of spiders and bugs around it and help. I don't tend to believe in things of the paranormal despite some years earlier experiencing something supernatural. When my nephew would come into the cottage for the first few weeks, he seemed shy and scared, the way he usually reacted to unfamiliar faces. It was odd, as it was just our family there and he knew us. It happened the most when he was brought up to my bedroom. Put it down to the fact usually it was morning, so my curtains were still pulled, and being an unfamiliar room, he didn't realize it was me. I usually wear glasses, and I was still in bed. I wouldn't be wearing them when he first entered the room. He calmed down after a few minutes, and all was fine. But a month after we moved in, a new family moved into the cottage next door. A couple weeks later, and we still hadn't had a chance to introduce ourselves. One Sunday morning, as usual, my nephew was brought in to see me in my bedroom. He acted oddly when he first came in, as he'd been doing. But this time, it was different. He kept pointing to the ceiling and saying something we couldn't quite work out. I took my mobile phone out and filmed, as this was even more unusual for him. He pulled his sister into the room and asked for the light to be turned on. We questioned him over and over what he was seeing. "A little boy called Charlie," was the answer. We didn't know anyone called Charlie. He said the little boy was 6. He then told whatever it was on my ceiling to shut up, that it was up here, and asked if we could see it. He followed something around the room with his eyes and towards my wall, looked back and said, "Oh, he's gone." I was slightly freaked out, but thought nothing more about it. That same day, around lunchtime, our new next-door neighbor knocked on our door to apologize if we heard his son screaming in the night. He was experiencing a night terror, and it took a while for him to calm down. He told us that his son, Charlie, was convinced there was someone in his room, and he was terrified. My dad didn't know about my nephew's episode in my room until I played him the video on my phone. He took it to our neighbors and showed them the video. They were all pretty convinced whatever it was my nephew was seeing was also seen by the child next door. I'll add, at this point, the cottage used to be one house. It had been separated by a thin wall by our landlord to bring in double for the rent. From that day onwards, for our time at the cottage, my nephew would often come in, head towards our staircase, and look as if he was interacting with someone on the stairs, pretending to play peekaboo, catch, where we'd watch him stand at the bottom and shout, "Ready, set, go!" And as if someone had bounced a ball down the stairs, he'd put his arms out ready to catch it, or generally giggle at nothing at the top of the stairs. I'd often feel cold or like someone was stroking my hair, but I'd put it down to the old cottage not being insulated, and maybe a spider dropping on my head. We had so many I gave up trying to catch them and just let them be. I had an outward opening bedroom door which needed the handle turning and a great weight to open or close it, but it would open by itself on several occasions. I never saw anything, though. We moved out after a year, not due to this, and have had nothing strange happen since. I've tried to find out some history of the cottage and its occupants, but haven't gotten anywhere. My nephew Jack is now 7. I haven't asked him if he remembers anything. He's a sensitive boy, and I don't want to frighten him. I'll show him the video when he's older. I've shared the video with you via Facebook, whether you make anything of it, though. The other experience I had was when I was 11. I suffered a burst appendix and almost died from blood poisoning. I was in surgery for 6 hours. My parents were told it would be an hour at most, so naturally they were convinced something had happened to me. A few years later, I told my mom that a photo on top of my chest of drawers of my eldest nephew, the face morphed into my granddad that had passed away some years earlier. He smiled at me. I blinked, and it was back to my nephew's face. Thinking my mom would get angry at me for telling her, it was then that she admitted to me she had seen her dad behind the round glass window at the entrance to the operating theater area. He smiled at her and disappeared. She said she knew then I was okay. She felt at ease anyway. She said if I hadn't survived, she knew my granddad was there with me. My mom doesn't believe in this stuff at all, so this was special to both of us. Also, for several years, I had a budgie, Homer. Is that right? Budgie?
Budgie.
Okay. Is that a...
I think it's a type dog.
A dog? Okay. He thought he was a child. He'd sit on the arm of the sofa and watch TV with us. He had a vast vocabulary and was a darling little thing. He meant the world to me. He suffered with respiratory distress and sadly passed away in 2007. I was distraught and still to this day grieve for him. When I'm at my lowest without fail, I find a small, soft, downy feather like one of Budgie's. So maybe a bird?
I guess so. I don't know what a Budgie is.
I don't either. I've never heard of one. On my carpet or in my car. We've moved twice since he was with us, so I know it's not his. But it makes me feel as if he's with me and I'm happy, even if it's only briefly. Anyway, I'm sorry for the long story. Feel free to edit the heck out of it. Regards, Amanda in Plymouth, the United Kingdom, a new EPP member.
I'm thinking the first part of her story, because the cottage used to be one mm-hmm. and not two separate halves, that the spirit's probably roaming around the floor plan that used to be the
sure.
floor plan.
It's not following the confines of what was adjusted.
Right. And I think it's interesting, you know, at first I got confused because the boy next door's name was Charlie and he kept seeing Charlie. And I was like, okay, is Charlie astral projecting over mm-hmm. or is this a ghost named Charlie as well?
It's one of those things where I doubt the little boy was astral projecting, but I wonder if back and forth, if the name Charlie somehow got intermingled. If the ghost said the name Charlie when he was talking to the other kid and the one kid heard it and then assumed, well, that's Charlie right there. You know how kids will mess names up?
Right.
And just thought of it, you know, as being completely normal.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that being the case. Or possibly the ghost's name is Charlie.
Yeah.
But I could see it just being a playmate, somebody shouting out the name Charlie, the ghost shouting, and the kid thinks this ghost is Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Great story. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. Number 855-853-4802, whatever platform it is you listen to our show on. iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, TuneIn Radio, Spotify, you name it. Please press subscribe. That helps us grow in the rankings. And you don't miss a single episode of the show. We greatly appreciate your help in that, and you'll enjoy all those episodes. Heather writes into us, "My name's Heather, and I have always believed in the paranormal. My mother and I have had many experiences with the paranormal in the house I grew up in. If we're children running, laughing, and talking, my mother and I both have seen a little girl with brown hair and a nightgown looking at us almost like she's trying to figure out who we are. One day, my nephew, who was being potty trained at the time, started screaming when I told him that he had to use a potty at the end of the hall. My nephew is very calm and mellow, so this was not a normal reaction for him. I asked him why he wouldn't go to the bathroom, and he told me that little talked to him, and then he grabbed his throat and made a choking noise. Needless to say, neither of us went into that bathroom again. I've always been a little more sensitive towards the paranormal. I get that from my mother, so for me, experiencing something unusual was not all that unusual. But when I moved in with my now fiancé, we're getting married on Halloween of 2015. I was in over my head. My fiancé, Brian, moved into this house with his cousin when their grandfather passed away. The family did not want to sell it right away, so they left it to the boys to rent out. Well, his cousin got married and moved out, and I moved in on the 4th of July in 2013. When I first moved in, we piled all the boxes in the den where the TV was. We could not even get into that room. It was so packed. One morning, Brian was looking for his keys everywhere and could not find them for an entire week. One morning, his mother called him to ask if he needed to borrow his dad's truck, and Brian jumped out of bed and screamed, "No, Grandma. Grandma told me where they are." His grandmother died in that house 10 years earlier. Brian ran into that cram-packed den, throwing boxes everywhere. Got close to the sliding glass door that leads to the backyard that is blocked by his drum set and boxes of books. Brian got really quiet and slowly bent down. I asked what was going on, and he stood up and turned around and was completely pale. He lifted his hand, and he was holding his keys. They were stuck in the track of the sliding glass door. I moved in a month before this happened, so there was no way the keys got over there. After Brian had that dream of his grandmother, things got really intense. The house started to feel heavy, and he would make excuses to leave the house because we would start feeling really sick. We'd walk around Target for hours and hours just so we wouldn't have to go home. Then we started hearing music playing, people talking, and we'd even feel someone standing behind us every time we were doing the dishes. Brian would see red balls of light dancing around our room at night and see little black figures running around the house at night. We were not a fighting couple, but we started fighting all the time, and on many occasions his face would change during a fight. I knew it was him, but it did not look like him. I'd wake up with scratches and feeling so sick. We were so scared of the house that if one person wanted to go into the kitchen, the other person would have to go with them. Brian and I would never be alone at the house. One morning I woke up before Brian, but didn't dare to leave the bed without him. He woke up about 30 minutes later, and we both walked towards the kitchen together. He stopped to go to the bathroom, and I went into the kitchen myself. Before I got to the doorway of the kitchen, my eyes started watering. It was more like a waterfall coming out of my eyes, and my heart sank. I finally got to the kitchen, and every cabinet was open. Every drawer was open, and our pots and pans were moved to the sink. The cabinet above the refrigerator was even open. After that, things in our kitchen were being moved almost weekly. My last straw was my cat being attacked. I was lying in bed one afternoon because I wasn't feeling good. My cat was standing on my vanity that was in our bedroom facing a window, and I heard this big bang that made our whole house shake. My cat made this awful meowing and jumped off the vanity. Before he got to our bedroom, he made another awful noise, then his body looked smashed, as though he ran into the wall while running full speed. I jumped out of bed. The next thing I knew, my cat was in the air and hit the hallway wall. It looked like he was kicked out of the room. I went running after him, and then another big boom happened and I fell to the floor. By this time, I was bawling and screaming for help. I saw my cat turn under our china cabinet. I lay next to the china cabinet. Brian came home soon after, and we tried to get my cat out from under the cabinet, and he didn't come out for days. We packed our things and moved out. Brian's parents had the house blessed, then they sold it. I moved on July 4th of 2013 and moved in on October 13, 2013. To this day, I feel like that dream was not his grandmother. I believe it was something sinister using that dream to get into the house. Whatever it was attached itself to my fiancé and nearly ruined everything. Brian and I have never been so scared in our entire life. We always tell each other that we survived 4 months of being tormented by evil, so we can survive anything.
I think she's right with having the grandmother not really be the grandmother.
Yeah, I'm going to guess that was something else.
I would venture to guess that whatever it was actually probably took the keys and hid them with the purpose of being like, oh, look, grandmother told me where they were.
Oh, helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Nice grandmother. Let me go punt the cat across the room. That doesn't seem very grandmotherly.
No.
At all. It's interesting. There's been a cat theme on this show today.
Cats and relatives.
And I haven't, like at the beginning when I brought up that cat thing that somebody sent in, I didn't even know there was going to be cats in any of the stories. I just found it amusing and I just wanted to share.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame the cat for hiding.
No.
For under the china cabinet for 4 days. If I was a cat, I probably would never have come out. I would have just starved to death underneath there. I'd have been so freaked out. I wonder how often, obviously animals see things. We hear that a lot where the dog seeing something or the cat seeing something that no one else is seeing. That seems to be a fairly frequent thing. I wonder how often they actually are, you know, for lack of a better term, abused like that by the paranormal.
You mean like physically or like just kicked, tormented?
Like kicked or pushed or pulled or, you know, kept away or, you know, I wonder how often things like that happen.
Probably more than we would realize.
Because they're so You know, they seem to be a little bit more in tune with it, and they're tiny. You know, for people, we can easily manipulate them and pick them up and move them where we need to go. I would imagine that, you know, if a ghost is going to try and manipulate something, doing that to a cat is easier than to a person, if you are so inclined to be an asshole.
Right.
You know, so I wonder how often things like that happen. Interesting story. Damn it, I said interesting.
You did. At least you didn't say interesting story. Because you do that.
I have not done that today.
Good job.
Sean or Shane? S-E-A-N. I always...
Sean.
Well, it could be pronounced Shane, can it?
No.
What would Shane be?
H-A-N-E.
Oh, I thought there was sometimes Shane was pronounced... Is Sean always S-E-A-N?
There's different ways to spell Sean.
My cousin Sean is S-H-A-W-N.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I always thought S-E-N might be Shane.
No, it's Sean.
Okay.
At least you didn't call it Scene.
Scene? Cian. Cian writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is a story I've been told before in another ghost-related podcast I listened to, so it could possibly sound familiar to some of your listeners. I didn't save the story the last time I wrote it, so this time it'll sound very different, but I wanted to offer this disclaimer just so people don't hear it and think I stole it from someone else. Before I begin, I'd just like to say I really like your show and appreciate it. Since starting this October, I've listened to over 50 episodes from the beginning while at work and driving, and it's caused me to think a lot more about the nature of death and the paranormal. So thank you for that. And now here's my story. When I was pretty young, probably around 8 years old, I was still very afraid of the dark. In order for me to be able to get to sleep with any peace at all, I needed a nightlight in the corner of my room. And there was one in the bathroom in case I needed to go pee in the middle of the night. I was so terrified something would be waiting for me, I always preferred to just hold it. I would also sleep with my door open because I was and still am a bit claustrophobic. Anyway, every night my mom would come and lay with me for 30 minutes or so until I was able to fall asleep. Because this was so long ago, some of the details are foggy, so I can't recall whether I was waiting for my mom to come and lie with me or if I'd just woken up in the middle of the night. But either way, I remember being wide awake. I'm going to give a bit of perspective, and I know this is hard for listeners to imagine just by hearing it, so I'll be brief. My room was at the end of our upstairs hall on the left-hand side. My parents' room was at the very end of the hall, and then across from me was my brother's room, and beside my room on the same side of the hall was the bathroom. The head of my bed at this time was against the wall leading into the hall and just beside the open door, which meant that from where I was lying, I could see down the short hall into the small set of stairs at the landing that led into the longer flight of stairs that would take you to the first floor. Now that this is out of the way, I'll describe what happened that night. I was lying there awake for whatever reason, and rather than hiding beneath my blankets so the monsters couldn't get me like usual, I decided to look out of my door and into the hall as if something wanted me to look. As I gazed into the hallway, I saw something moving out of the shadows in the landing. I've noticed your listeners who write in tend to overuse the descriptive phrase, "It was blacker than the night around it," which can honestly annoy me sometimes, but as I recall the event now, that is the best way to describe it. The thing I saw was tall, lanky, seeming to nearly reach the ceiling with its head. As I said, it was composed completely of darkness, but there was an odd fuzzy texture to it that I recall made me think of Grover, a character from Sesame Street. I watched this thing seemingly float across the outside wall of my brother's room. As it always does, my brain began rationalizing what I was seeing. At first, I thought it must be my mom coming from downstairs. As I said, I can't recall now if she had already laid with me that night to help me get to sleep or not, but she sometimes slept downstairs on a mattress in her office because my dad snored terribly. And she was passing the bathroom somehow out of my vision. Now, in hindsight, that makes very little sense, which caused the nightlight to cast her shadow on the wall. However, there was no sound associated with the movement, and we lived in a rather old house with creaky wooden floors. I can legitimately tell where anyone in the house is if they move, no matter where I happen to be at the time. So next, I thought it must be our dog casting an odd shadow. She'd be stepping more lightly, and that could explain the fuzzy appearance of the shadow on the wall, but I realized I would at least hear the clicking of her toenails on the wood. With all the rationale failing to explain what I was seeing, I could bring myself to do nothing more than watch the thing move slowly across the painted hallway until coming nearly to my brother's door where it stopped. I can't recall how long it sat there. It might not have been long at all, but eventually it simply faded into the wall while I watched it, and then it was gone. Of course, part of me wanted to cry for my parents or warn my brother, but the self-preservationist in me simply rolled over, pulled the covers over my head, and trembled until I eventually fell asleep. Last time I told this story, I didn't offer these following details because the other podcast I listened to wouldn't work well with them, but I feel like you two and your listeners might appreciate it. Less than a year later, my mom committed suicide due to severe depression. I only mention this because of some info I received later in life when talking to someone who claimed to have experience in the field of the paranormal. Please keep in mind that this person I spoke to was an anonymous name on a message board, so what they told me could be complete nonsense for all I really know. So anyway, when I was speaking to this person, I told them this story and they asked if anything tragic had happened to my family after what I'd witnessed. I told them about my mom and he informed me that through his studies, he'd found that the presence of a shadow man often was accompanied by bad feelings, depression, suicidal thoughts, and other negative effects on a person's mind. Unfortunately, I didn't save the conversation I had with him because I could then relay this information with more detail and accuracy. But essentially, he felt that it was possible the shadow man had attached itself to my mom sometime around when I saw it and could have been a catalyst to her depression and suicide. I don't honestly know if that is true or not, of course. The skeptic in me denies it totally and realizes that sometimes no matter how happy a person may seem or how good their life appears, they're struggling with mental issues that defy their reality and don't care if any other person would be happy. That's just fact. But for whatever reason, what this random person on the internet told me about shadow men and their presence has stuck with me for over 10 years now. I wanted to share that info with you all in case it does have any validity at all. All right, I think that's all I have for you. Nothing like that has ever happened to me again, and as far as I'm aware, nobody else in my family has experienced anything like that or any depression, thankfully. I hope you found the story interesting, and I'll continue to catch up on your current episodes. In the meantime, keep up the good work, and thanks for offering such an entertaining and thought-provoking platform for skeptics and believers alike. All the best, Cianne.
It's Sean.
It's Sean.
We know there's a correlation between paranormal activity and mental health when there's an issue. Mm-hmm. But as far as directly which one brings on the other, we don't know that.
Sure. I mean, it's one of those things where it seems to be that someone who is suffering from any sort of depression, mental issues, whatever the case may be, they tend to be a target for things mm-hmm. a lot of times. However, if I could also, it could work in the reverse order as well. You could end up going into a haunted house, living in a haunted house, for the lack of the most simplest terms, and you're tormented. That can get you, put you into a depression. It can make you very upset, sad, have a lot of negativity around you, and then that can in turn latch onto you after that. So it's cart before the horse, or whatever you want to call it.
Chicken or the egg.
Yeah. But as far as it being the cause, the catalyst, that's no one will ever know that for sure in this case. But could there be a connection? Sure. But it's also not always the case with shadow people in general either. There's a lot of shadow person doesn't necessarily mean negative from all of the stories that we've seen. I classify a shadow person, to me, a shadow person is the perfect example just of a ghost. Mm-hmm. It can be almost anything. You don't know what it is. It's the way it's manifested itself. Sometimes it's a friendly person that actually died. Sometimes it's a demon from hell. You don't know what the hell it is. But just because it has that shadow-like form doesn't always connotate it's negative and it's going to bring negative things to your life.
No, but I do think they do cause probably more fear than just a full-on apparition that you can tell what it is because you can't tell what it is.
I agree. And that's our perception mm-hmm. of it. And that's us playing into it's darkness. We must be scared, but it's so in that sense, it would make you probably more startled than, an orb or something of that nature that seems, that's a pretty little white light.
That or you see somebody walking down the hall. Oh, sure. That looks like mom or that's my brother.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little more startling, but not always bad. Mm-hmm. And that's me sticking up for shadow people.
Yeah. I mean, we'll do it until we're proven otherwise.
Yeah. I mean, so that's just kind of seems what, you know, what we have to add to that as far as feedback based on the stories that we get here and the experiences that we've heard of on this show. So thank you for sharing that story with us. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. We'd love to hear your real ghost stories on the show. And of course, if you want to keep the show going, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you in advance for doing just that. All right. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.